Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read a portion of the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2 tonight. I think we'll be back in Matthew chapter 1 and 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 7, and then I'll read down through verse number 20. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 7. And if you're able, if you'd stand for the reading of the Bible, Luke chapter 2, verse number 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch or over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this wonderful story, this wonderful part of the inspired scriptures. Thank you for sharing, Lord, not only that Jesus came, but giving us many of the specifics so that we could understand it and know it and, Lord, glorify you for it. Lord, thank you for all that we've already experienced and our hearts have been stirred and touched and I think turned toward heaven and then back in our memories and minds to the Christmas stories. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the preaching of the Bible. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Very good. I want to draw your attention to two words. And these words are found in verse number 18 and verse number 19. Notice in verse number 18, and all they that heard it, and the next word is this, wondered. All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Then in verse number 19, we learn this about Mary, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And so there was wondering and there was pondering, wondering and pondering. I think during the Christmas season, all of us would be served well to understand these two words and to participate in the same process that the folks here was involved in this first Christmas night, wondering. What does it mean to wonder? Well, if you look at that word and you chase it down through the original and some of the definition there, it means to look upon in admiration, to look closely, to perceive, to purposefully visit, to look, to behold, to see. It means this, not just to see, but to gaze. This is literally what it said, to gaze with wide open eyes as at something remarkable. Amen. All those that heard the things wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, pondering is different. I don't think we can ponder until we wonder. First of all, we have to decide that we're going to look at something, not with a casual glance. That isn't what the word means here. It means to look with admiration, to look closely, to purposefully visit it, to look upon it, to gaze upon it. I love this little phrase, with wide open eyes as at something remarkable. There's the moment of seeing it. There's the moment of visiting it. There's the moment of gazing upon it. But folks, I don't know about you, but if we're not careful, we can see some pretty remarkable things. And then just a few minutes later, our minds and hearts can be captured away and taken away. And we can lose the wonder of what we beheld. But Mary took another step here. The Bible says in verse number 19 that she pondered. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, what does that word mean? That word pondered is a fascinating word. It means to combine. It means to converse, literally to converse with oneself, to consult, to dispute mentally, to consider. Now, think about that. Wondering and pondering, I think, ought to come along with the Christmas season. Wondering and pondering ought to be attached to Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2, the Christmas story. I think that this will grow this a bit beyond just the Christmas story. I think it's a wonderful way to live your life. I think people rush by too many things that ought to be wondered upon. I think that they wonder sometimes, but don't ponder it. Don't take it and keep it in their hearts. And therefore, they're not fundamentally changed. So think about that. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm following you. Well, we're in the country, so let me reach back and get one of my dad's illustrations, okay? Because my dad was fond of cows. And almost all of his life, they raised a cow or two. And even on up into his aged years, he liked to keep a cow or two on the property. And my dad would talk about how he would watch the cows graze in the field. But when they finished grazing, they would usually go find a shade tree somewhere and lie down. And then next thing you know, they'd be what us country people call chewing the cud. Now, I'm not going to go into an in-depth explanation of what that exactly means or how all that happens, because it just loses all desirability if I begin to talk about the five stomachs and the process of digesting cow's diet. But you get the idea. It wasn't just that what they partook upon was swallowed. It was also then later on, it was redigested. I'm trying hard here. It was re-experienced in a new and wonderful way. Yes. Okay. They puked it up and chewed it. Okay. I just lost wherever I was going. Say, preacher, what is that? What is that called? Does the Bible talk about this? How about Psalms 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Why, by the way, why avoid that? Because there's nothing to wonder at there. There's nothing to wonder at there. There's nothing worth pondering and learning anything about. I mean, folks, come on. It's as old as time itself. People going out and being disobedient, people out going out and living in rebellion, people out going out and living in sin. And you know, there used to at least be a shame connected to it. Now they take pictures of it, post it on the internet, but there's nothing to learn from that crowd. Well, where can we learn? Well, it goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he, what's the next word? Meditate day and night. Well, I want to pause and see if I can capture your heart. I'd like to see if I can get young people to learn this at a very, very early age. The Bible's going to change for you when you learn not just to wonder at it, but you learn to ponder upon it. Your Bible reading's going to change. You know, I think it's a very fair question to ask this. Are you meditative when it comes to the Scriptures? Are you meditative when it comes to the Scriptures? You see, folks, it's one thing to wonder at the story, the Christmas story, but many of us have not just wondered upon it as we heard it sung about, or wondered upon it as we read about it. But you know what? We spent some time this month pondering it. And if you have, it holds a deeper meaning for you, but not just the Christmas story. Every single part of the Bible, this one I want to try to teach you going into 2025. You know, this is my Christmas gift to you, and I mean this. If I could give you a Christmas gift, that would, I think, change your relationship with the Bible, a gift that I could give you today, and then it would continue on in 2025, is I believe that this book ought to be a book that is wondered at and wondered upon. But folks, if that's all we do, then we're not going to really be changed and transformed. We need to learn to keep these things and ponder them in our heart, and to combine what we've learned and converse with ourselves. Think about that. It's a wonderful thing when the Holy Spirit of God is involved in this process as you study the Bible. And you know what? As you begin to meditate on it, what's the promise? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, day and night. And he shall be like a tree. What's the result of this? Planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Think about this. A tree planted by the rivers of water. Why is there a lack of stability in Christianity today? Why isn't more Christians like a tree? Come on, a big old oak tree. It's just planted right there by the rivers of water. And you know what? It withstands the storm and nothing seems to move. Its seasons come and seasons go, and the rain and the blizzards and the heat and the sun, and it just stands. It just stands. I have to ask myself, think about this. It goes on and says that it will bring forth its fruit in its season. Why is there so much unfruitfulness amongst God's people? Well, what about this? His leaf also shall not wither. Why is there such a lack of spiritual health in God's people? Think about that. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why is there so much failure amongst God's people? You have to ask yourself these questions. When we are given a formula here, come on, Mary figured it out. Come on, it's one thing to wonder at a message, but do you ever ponder the message day and night? Does it just... come on, get snatched out of your heart before you leave the parking lot on a Sunday morning? Or do you ponder what you have heard preached and taught in the church? When you open the Bible, do you wonder at it for just a few minutes? Do you even take the time to wonder? Or is it a real casual glance at what it says? See, folks, I think wondering and pondering changes a life. I think it's the difference between, come on, that Christian that is like that tree planted by the rivers of water. I would love to be that kind of Christian with that kind of stability and fruitfulness and spiritual health and spiritual success. Well, then the requirement is given. His delight shall be, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What consumes our thinking? What consumes our meditation time? Is it the stories of the Bible? Is it the messages and the truths of the messages that we've heard preached and taught? Are we just going to, come on, I want to help us. I know we're in the Christmas spirit here, but I want to help us. I want to give you a gift this morning. You see, there's a difference between a Christian that's being victorious and living on the victory side and one that seems like they're just mumbling and stumbling their way through life. And it all has to do with your relationship to this book right here. Yes, the Christmas story will mean so much more if you learn to wonder and then to ponder it. But it's not just the Christmas story. It's everything that's in this book. And it can produce such a change in our life. I preached at a conference this summer, and your dad was there, Miss Biber, Brother Russell Biber, Pastor Russell Biber was there. And after I got done preaching, he overheard Pastor Mike Allison say something about my message, and he came to share it with me, which I didn't know whether to be excited about or not, you know. And so he came to me, and he said, I'm not saying this to try to, you know, give you a big head, but sometimes God allows a friend to hear something that a friend needs to hear. And I said, well, what did you hear? You know, and he said, Pastor Mike Allison said, I'm not sure I read the Bible the same way Pastor Jerry Ross reads the Bible. And amen, I'm just going to assume that was a compliment, amen. But I preached on what most would call an obscure part of the Bible, an obscure passage. And yet, to me, it wasn't obscure. And you know why, folks? I've learned to wonder. I almost said wander. I learned to wander too. I'm doing it right now in my message, you know. I'm real good at wandering, amen. But occasionally I stop and wonder while I'm wandering. I ought to write a Christmas song about that, you know. Yeah, I'm going to think about that. I wonder as I wander. Kind of got to, yeah, all right, anyway. Amen. But Brother Biber said, what do you think he meant by that? And I said, I think that God gave me something in my teenage years that helped me. And that's why I think young people, listen, you can get it now. That book can mean something to you now. I mean, it's not just, come on, check a box. We're going to encourage you. We've got reading schedules back there. Hey, they're in the track rack, by the way. You can pick one up. It'll give you an assignment to read every day. And if you stick with it, you'll read through the entire Bible in a year. And that's wonderful. But if all you're doing is just a casual glance to check a box, it's not going to change your life. You know, think about that, to look closely, to perceive, to this, that, you know, every one of us have been gifted a God-given gift of an imagination. You know, when I was listening up here, I wasn't just listening to a cantata. I was living what was being sung. I was seeing what was being sung. I was imagining what was being said and sung and presented before us. You know, when I listen to a message, I'm sorry, I don't just come as a casual listener, you know, that zones out and daydreams until the preacher says something funny and he'll get me back for 10 seconds, then I'm off somewhere else again. You know what? When I get a chance to sit and listen to a message, and by the way, I listen to several during the week. I've been traveling back and forth to Terre Haute more than normal, back and forth to the hospital, and I just listened to R.G. Lee. I told you to listen to Payday Someday, which I did. That week, but I wanted to listen to him preach something else, so I listened to a message he preached called The Menace of Mediocrity, and I didn't just listen to it casually. I lived out that beautiful sermon and those beautiful truths, and because of that, I came away with something that was life-changing for me and helpful to me as I was looking into a new year. And I know that God wanted me to hear that. It's so easy, folks, to instead of just doing our best and giving God our excellence in every area, to just kind of let that drop down. Come on, Sunday school teachers. Come on, those of you in special music. I'm just telling you, everybody can just let it kind of drop down into just getting by. Come on, just mediocre in what we're doing for the Lord, mediocre in what we're attempting for the Lord. And listen, you say, why is your life changed by messages? Because I just don't wonder at them, but I do wonder. And remember, folks, that means to look upon an admiration, to look closely, to perceive, to purposefully visit, to gaze with wide open eyes as at something remarkable. I'm going to say something to you. I think between video games and the boob tube, the TV, I think that we've produced a generation of zombies. And the reason so many churches have reverted to entertainment instead of preaching is because they're being sold the idea that people can't pay attention anymore unless you got bells and whistles and a screen with something going on. That, you know what? That's an indictment against the intelligence of Americans. Okay? And instead of surrendering to it and adding to it, maybe we ought to preach against it and say, why don't we be as the Bible teaches us to be? Just because the world needs dumbed down doesn't mean the church ought to dumb down also. Amen? Now think about that. And so, you know, God's gifted each of us with a mental gift of an imagination. A lot of times the obscure portions of Scripture come to light when you begin to imagine, come on, think about this, really gaze upon it. I started to mention as a teenager, young people, I took a course. I went to public school all the way through. I went to public school all the way through 10th grade. And then I was allowed to finish. Dad started a Christian school my junior and senior year. I was allowed to finish here at Blessed Oak Baptist School. And you know what? They handed me a course called Life of Christ. And I took a look at that. And one of the requirements was we was to read all four of the Gospels. And one of the instructions was this: don't just read it, but decide that you're going to be the 13th disciple. I want you, they were challenging us to read it and to imagine it and to watch Christ and to listen to Christ. By the way, I would give that challenge to any Christian in here. I would rather you read the four Gospels slowly and meaningfully and wonder and ponder at it than I would have you read the entire Bible casually. Because I can tell you this, I did all of that in one semester and it changed my life. You see, I'm not sure if Jesus is real to them. And it's because we don't wonder at him. We don't really ponder him. Why don't you just start in Matthew chapter 1 and it's going to take you right into the part of the Christmas story. And instead of racing through it, why don't you read a verse and ponder it? Wonder at it. Gaze at it in amazement. Then ponder it. And then read a couple more verses and stop and do it. And I will say this. Listen, folks, I was doing what I was doing because of mom and dad up to that point. But by the time I walked through Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and wondered at this great Savior and pondered the Son of God, I got done and I said, you know what? I'd like to spend my entire life being one of his disciples. You see, folks, I just think if we're not careful, the devil's got us so mentally distracted. You know, I've teased with this idea, and I really ought to do it. It's probably a $1 million idea. And one of these days, I'm going to see it on Shark Tank and think, why didn't I? I thought of that before they did, but I've always said I'm going to produce a King James Bible that either vibrates or rings. I mean, if I could just get your Bible to vibrate every once in a while. Most of you grab it like that and you got to see immediately what it says, you know. Well, why is it that we can't divorce ourselves from this for 5 seconds, it seems like. We can't go a whole 60 seconds without grabbing that and looking at something on it, but we can go days at a time and never even read it, let alone wonder at it. Wonder at it. Think about that. Wonder at it. I don't know if this is good or bad. I'll tell you what we did. And then, you know, if you're for it, I'm for it too. If you're against it, so am I. But but I tried to decide what I could get. Cheryl, her birthday is always in November and has been since she was born. And I don't know why I said always in November. I guess that's kind of, anyway. Well, that was to get a couple of you back. I got you now. 10 more seconds. I better hurry. And but so what do you get her after a while? So I got a thread or a little text thread that I don't know if that's what you called or not. But anyway, a group of us pastors. And I said, hey, give me an idea. What do you get your wives, guys? And one of them texts back and said, well, why don't you take them to Sight and Sound Theater in December and watch the Christmas. It's called The Miracle of Christmas. It's the Christmas story. And so I said, well, that's a good idea. We've gone down to Sight and Sound. Like I said, if you're against it, man, I hate it. But but if you like it, so do I, man. And so anyway, but so we went down and we watched the story of Christmas. And folks, here's what why I brought that up. It's because I've been doing that since I was in high school, but I've been doing it here. And it was interesting to kind of sit there and watch it acting out. But folks, every story of the Bible, there's not going to be a group of people to dramatize it for you. And I sat there and I thought to myself, by physically watching it, little things that I never thought of before that I thought of then. But you know what? Again, you don't have to run down to Sight and Sound Theater for that to happen. God gave you the capacity. And so think about this. When we ponder this, when it comes to the Christmas story, come on, I think that this is a great time to start. Hey, let's just make this the starting point, because as I read the Christmas story, I'm reminded of the importance of wondering and pondering. There are many aspects of Christ's supernatural birth that make me gaze wide-eyed and amazed. I just tell you, and I'm almost done with my preaching time, so that was the introduction. So don't get nervous, we're done. But you know, when I ponder, come on, wonder and ponder of how God became man. I mean, have you ever wondered at it? Have you ever pondered it? I mean, how in the world? And I know there's some things that we're only going to mentally be able to go down the road so far. And then, you know, his ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts are so far above our thoughts. But, you know, I think we can go a lot farther down a road sometimes than we will if we don't try. But you ever think to yourself, what a miracle that a member of the triune God, the Son of God, God the Son, He came flesh and dwelled among us. I mean, that's what the Bible says. How in the world do you contain the great and mighty God, a member of the triune God, and how does He become flesh? And I think about that, and I ponder that. And you know what? I think to myself, He didn't have to do that. Okay? He humbled Himself. He humbled Himself to do that. Part of the cantata, and I think even the special song too that Brother Nichols sung, said that it talks about what a humble beginning he had. And I pondered that. I mean, here's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, folks. One of these days, He's going to return on a white horse. He's going to send a millennial reign. You know, one of these days, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And yet, He could have been born in a palace. He could have been born amongst royalty. And you know what? God chose two very common people, very poor people, and said, I'm going to entrust my son to you. Hey, folks, listen to me. We're too stuck on materialism. Okay, the most important things aren't things. Okay? I ponder that. I ponder the wonder of His supernatural protection. I mentioned this on Wednesday, that, you know, if you go back to Revelation chapter 12, back in Revelation chapter 12, it tells us something about the birth of Christ. It says that the devil, that dragon, was poised to destroy Him as soon as He was created, as soon as He was born, as soon as He came upon the earth. And we could go back. We might spend some time there tonight talking about Herod and his attempt to destroy the Christ child. Folks, that was satanic. By the way, the murdering of babies is satanic. I don't care if it's before they're born or after they're born. It's still satanic, you know. Now think about that. Isn't that something? And yet God saw to it that He was protected. He put His son in a very vulnerable situation. He was in the form of human flesh. And yet I think if we could have seen both the visible and invisible creation while He was here on earth, I think you would have seen that God provided mighty angels. We see at times where they visited Him and ministered to Him. And I think there was great protection on that night. I pondered. By the way, you want to be changed. I love this part of the cantata, brother, where you broke down the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what, folks? You think about this. I mean, there's never been so much divine attention given to a name of a baby in the history of the world. And He wasn't just given one. Yes, they said He shall be called Jesus, for He shall save their people from their sins. But also, He was called Wonderful. And also, He was called Counselor. Now, wait a minute. I'm just going to mention them. And if you want to, you can give a casual glance to each one. Or this week, you can wonder at each one. This week, you can ponder each one. Maybe read the Gospels and think about just read one of the Gospels, and every time you see Jesus, think about the name Wonderful. Think about the name Counselor. How about the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? He's called Jesus. He's called the Son of the Highest. He's called the Son of God. He's called Emmanuel. Think about what that means. God with us. God was with us. God was with us. Think about that. And I guess after I've wondered and pondered at those aspects of the Christmas story, then I got to always end up at the same place. I ponder at the wonder of the love of God. That He would love me enough to send His Son. and that Jesus would love us enough to agree to come. And yes, he came in a manger, but folks, listen, I know it's Christmas, but we don't want to leave him in a manger this morning. We don't want to end the message with him there because he didn't stay a baby. He grew up, Brother Brian prayed, and he grew up and he lived a perfect life and he became the perfect sacrifice. He died on the cross for my sins, your sins, and the sins of the whole world. And there must come a time, Jesus told a religious man, he told him, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So sometime between the day that you're physically born and the day that you die, somewhere on the timeline of your life, there needs to be that moment where you've been born again, where you've seen yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior, and under conviction of sin, realize Christ died for you, took your place, and is willing now to give you eternal life, forgiveness of sin. He came to save us. He came to redeem us. And he's done everything necessary to be able to offer the free gift of salvation to each and every one that's here today. If you're here today and you don't know for sure, you're on your way to heaven. This babe that came in a manger, you know what? He grew up as the Son of God, the sinless sacrifice, and he died for your sins. And you know what? The Bible says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. Let's spend some time this week wondering at these amazing chapters, the amazing Christmas story, and then maybe spend some time pondering, focusing our full attention, hiding these things in our heart, making them a part of who we are, allowing these truths to change us. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. You offer it freely to us, but it costs you a lot. And Lord, thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for agreeing to come. Thank you for being this perfect sacrifice. Thank you for dying on the cross for the sins of the entire world. Thank you for the whosoever will invitation. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that's never been saved, today would be the day that they receive Christ as their Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name.